Thanks for your company. Reverberations of the AUKUS agreement signed between the US, UK and Australia are still rippling across the globe. China's condemned the pact as, quote, extremely irresponsible, and Indonesia has voiced deep concerns about what it sees as the continuing arms race and power projection in the region. For more on all of this, I spoke earlier to the Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce. Barnaby Joyce, thanks for your time. In Britain, the former Prime Minister Theresa May is clearly concerned the AUKUS agreement could see the UK dragged into a war over Taiwan. She asked Boris Johnson about it in the House of Commons. Should we be worried about being dragged into war?
Well, everybody wants peace. Nobody wants war. That would be the most foolish thing for any person to wish. And of course, the way you prevent wars is have rational conversations, believe in the better judgment of people, and make sure that you have a deterrent that says it would not be worthwhile. It's just not worth the trouble.
Does this agreement come with any additional expectation, though, that Australia would support its AUKUS partners, the US and the UK, in any conflict? That is, any greater expectation than what the ANZUS Treaty currently describes?
Well, I think the ANZUS Treaty is self-evident, and the ANZUS Treaty has been in effect as what we've done as recently as after 9/11. Now, we need strong allies. We do not have the budget, nor the population, nor the capacity to be self-reliant in a case of a major conflict in the defence of Australia. And for us to maintain the liberties and the freedoms that are as prominent and as evident as us having this conversation right now and being able to have our views, not being in fear of those views, and say to our children that they will live with the same liberties and freedoms that we take as a birthright, we have to have the deterrent capacity, and we have to have the allies that make that a real situation.
The defence minister spoke about his aspiration for more US warplanes, including bombers, more US troops, a greater maritime capability, ordnance here in Australia. We've already got US troops on rotation here, but are we now going to get a US military base on Australian soil?
Well, if there was, I wouldn't be saying so. And at this point in time, I have no knowledge. And if I did, I wouldn't be able to tell you in any case. So you can make of that answer whatever you like. But I just think that we have a strong ally in the United States, and we have historically a strong ally in the United Kingdom. And it is hardly exceptional or peculiar or surprising that we continue on with those strong allied relationships. We are all having the same ethos and the belief of liberty, freedom of the individual, freedom of press, freedom of religion, property, private property ownership, all these things that make us Australian, that make us a liberal democracy. They come at a price, and the price is that you have to be able to defend it. And we don't want a war. We don't want a conflict. It's the last thing that anybody wants. But we want to have the capacity to say to people, we have been prudent in our ability to defend this nation if it was required.
But does it put a bigger target on our back?
No, I don't think so. I think the best way to get a big target on your back is be weak. And anybody who doubts that, just read your history books. That's the best way to put a target on your back, show that you're unable to defend yourself. And even you don't have to be invaded. You'll be bullied into being a supplicant. And that's only a few steps away from being invaded. Being a supplicant means you have to abide by the terms and the mores of the person who has their foot on your throat.
Indonesia has said today that it's deeply concerned over the continuing arms race and power protection in the region. Are we putting our important allies there and elsewhere offside through this?
Well, Indonesia is an incredibly important ally, and I know that we've got an incredibly strong relationship with Indonesia, and whether it's in our trade, in our capacity to be have an incredibly strong role in feeding the people of Indonesia, we work together. We're friendly in the ag sector. We see that more than most. And Indonesia knows they've got nothing to fear from Australia. Neither does anybody else, to be quite frank. You've got nothing to fear from Australia because that's not how we work. But we will defend Australia.
The submarines element of the AUKUS deal is a major part of it. We would be the only nation on Earth with nuclear-powered submarines, but no civil nuclear industry. We export a lot of uranium. We're pursuing net zero emissions, and eventually we're going to have nuclear submarines here. Doesn't it make sense to have a nuclear power industry here, at the very least to build up the expertise required to support these nuclear subs?
Well, that's not part of the deal, and that it's not part of the discussion.
Could it be in the future?
They're separate discussions for a separate time and got nothing to do with what we are doing now. To be quite frank, the unit that comes in with this is basically a sealed unit. It lives the life of the submarine. When the submarine's finished, the unit goes with it, and so there's no really pressing capacity for the technology on a domestic basis to deal with it, because it comes in as a sealed unit, and I suppose if you really needed major repairs to it, the skill sets in the United States and or the United Kingdom to deal with it.
You've never made a secret of your preference for nuclear power. Do you think this, as some suggested yesterday, could actually pry the door open for that element in our energy mix?
No, that's not what this is about. This is about the defence of our nation. The other one's an argument about power, about electricity, about reducing emissions, and the two are not tied to each other in any way, shape or form.
Could they be in a future government? Could a future government bring in nuclear power, or does this deal actually preclude, does it destroy the possibility of nuclear power in our energy mix?
Well, I think that's a question for future governments, and I can't tie a future government to anything. I mean, a future government is its own master. I can only talk about the conditions and terms of what we are doing now, and this has in no way, shape or form any connection to a move to a civil nuclear industry.
Okay. You know a thing or two about ministerial standards. Do you think it's reasonable for a member of cabinet to have their legal bills paid by an undisclosed benefactor or benefactors?
Look, I'm going to leave those discussions to the Prime Minister. All I can vouch for is I believe that Christian Porter is an incredibly capable minister. I find him to be a decent person. I found him to be absolutely and utterly across his brief. But it is not my remit to be the discerner of ministerial standards. That is in the remit of the Prime Minister of Australia. And I'll leave him to that homework, and I've got my own to do.
What about his judgment, though? Does this call that into question in your mind in any way?
But once more, that is not a decision for me to make. That's a decision for the Prime Minister, and I'll do my work, and I'll let others do theirs.
Barnaby Joyce, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
The Deputy Prime Minister.